God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Blessed be thy
Amen. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Good morning. Our first lesson is from the book of Genesis. Jacob settled in the land where his father had lived as an alien, the land of Canaan. This is the story of the family of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was shepherding the flock with his brothers. He was a helper to the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report from them to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a long robe with sleeves. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now his brothers went to pasture their father's flock near Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, "Are not your brothers pasturing the flock at Shechem? Come, I will send you to them." He answered, "Here I am." So I said to him, "Go now, see if it is well with your brothers and with the flock, and bring word back to me." So he went from the valley of Hebron. He came to Shechem, and a man found him wandering in the fields. The man asked him, "What are you seeking?" "I am seeking my brothers," he said. "Tell me, please, where they are pasturing the flock." The man said, "They have gone away, for I heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them at Dothan. They saw him from a distance, and before he came near to them, they conspired to kill him. They said to one another, "Here comes this dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then we will say that a wild animal has devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." But when Reuben heard it, he delivered him out of their hands, saying, "Let us not take his life," Reuben said to them. "Shed no blood. Throw him into this pit here in the wilderness, but lay no hand on him, that he might rescue him out of their hand and restore him to his father." So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the long robe with sleeves that he wore, and they took him and threw him into a pit. The pit was empty. There was no water in it. Then they sat down to eat, and looking up, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead, with their camels carrying gum, balm, and resin on their way to carry it down to Egypt. Then Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him, for he is our brother, our own flesh." And his brothers agreed. When some Midianite traders passed by, they drew Joseph up, lifting him out of the pit, and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they took Joseph to Egypt. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's read together Psalm 105. Please rise. Give thanks to the Lord and call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, and speak of all his marvelous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Search for the Lord and his strength. Continually seek his face. Remember the marvels he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O offspring of Abraham, his servant, O children of Jacob, his chosen. Then he called for a famine in the land and destroyed the supply of bread. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They bruised his feet in fetters, his neck they put in an iron collar, until his prediction came to pass, and the word of the Lord tested him. The king sent and released him. The ruler of the people set him free. He set him as a master over his household, as a ruler over all his possessions, to instruct his princes according to his will, and to teach his elders wisdom. Alleluia. Our second reading is from the book of Romans. Moses writes concerning the righteousness that comes from the law, that the person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that comes from faith says, "Do not say in your heart, 'Who will ascend into heaven?' that is to say, to bring Christ down, or 'Who will descend into the abyss?' that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? 'The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart.' That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and no one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. The scripture says, 'No one who believes in him will be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.' But how are they to call on him, one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, 'How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news.'" The word of the Lord.
Thank you. I would say that the transition from thinking we're going to have a picnic outside to being indoors has been a challenge for all of us. We got off to a little late start this morning, and I'm fine with all of the comfort that we feel with each other here. And I hope that you are equally feeling comfortable this morning and thankful for the rain that we've had, though disappointed that we'll not be outside. This gospel this morning is one of those stories that has made its way into a certain lore that I'm familiar with. We always talked about people who could walk on water. If they were really good folk, you know, I mean, if they performed miraculous sort of things, obviously they can walk on water. So, being from Alabama, you may well know that we all thought Bear Bryant could walk on water. Now that was a gift that came to him after he left Kentucky, I understand, and he went through a particularly dry time in Texas, but nevertheless, we all, that was one of the things that one said about Bear Bryant, and it came to be a term, of course, that spoke of people who were unusually accomplished. We turned it around a bit, of course, when we met up with someone who was not so accomplished but thought they were, and we would say, he thinks he can walk on water, but he's got news coming to him. It worked its way into the world of jokes, too. Did any of you ever know jokes about people walking on water? They always seemed to be fishermen out in a boat who needed to get over to the shore for some reason or another. One of them would get out and head for the shore and walk across the water. And then the next one would get out and walk across the water. And the third one would get out and practically drown. And the two on shore would say, should we tell him about the stumps that are just underneath the water? And of course, then this story transitions itself into those are three ministers sitting in the boat. And depending on what denomination you are, you poked at one of them not being able to walk on water, not able to find the stumps. The story today is not about how one walks on water, but it is about our Savior. It is about the Messiah, and it is about his role. It is about his function as the avenue, the way to salvation. The disciples are in the boat, which of course is a metaphor for a vessel for traveling in life, and even more a metaphor for the church. And it's about the journey in which storms come up in our lives. The fishermen and we, of course, are comfortable and we manage just fine when there's a calm about us. We also react as they did in a fearful fashion when we're not able to manage the storm, when it seems beyond our ability to weather it. And so the fishermen cry out for help. And they see Jesus coming across the water, and it's like it's a ghost. And they wonder where Jesus really is, probably. Indeed, their experience has been of Jesus having miraculous powers and of taking care of all kinds of things in miraculous ways. And so, what is it with this ghost? In the early morning hours, Jesus comes to the disciples in the boat that is being tortured by the waves. Peter is so excited when he realizes who it is, or perhaps he's so relieved, that he tries walking on the water too, to get to Jesus. And he discovers along the way that requires total focus. It's not easy. One must have total faith. One cannot do faith by oneself. One must trust. One must give oneself over to the Lord in the sureness that the Lord promises the storm will pass. So in the person of Jesus, who is the agent and the promise of salvation. We know that among all the changes and chances of this mortal life, we pray that we may ever find him strong to save. We all know this experience. We have been in the boat all through our lives, working our way along, and there are times when the going gets rough, when a storm hits. You have experienced that as a parish over the past few years. We all know disappointments in our lives. In the culture in which we live today, many of us know, I'm sure, disappointment in our work or in not having work. There's also illness that comes upon us and death, sometimes quickly, sometimes unexpectedly. Cancer in a young person, an accidental death, the financial problems that we're having as the world today. Indeed, the strife that we are experiencing all around the world, the storminess in various and sundry countries of the world. And so the question might well be for us, indeed it is, where is God? And what am I, what are we to do? These are real life challenges threatening our well-being. Where does my faith fit? Where does Jesus come in? The gospel today, then, is not a simple story. And it is not a story that leads us to humorous jokes, nor to simplistic answers such as, if one just believes in Jesus, everything will be all right, and the storm will go away, and the damage will be undone or fixed. Storms cause damage. Tornadoes in Joplin, Missouri, and across Alabama wreak havoc and destruction and death. And indeed, it is a storm that Jesus comes into Jerusalem, in which he faces rejection and crucifixion and death, and in which he cries out from the cross, "Where are you, God?" And God raises him to life again, brings him into new life. And that is our story as a community of faith, that we in this boat hold and sustain and strengthen one another. We know together the certain faith that the winds are stilled and that the journey goes on secure in the Lord. And we hold in our hands the charge to comfort one another and to reassure one another that those who are lost to this life are safe in the Lord's loving arms. Our work, what we are to do, is to hold one another and to proclaim that course, to keep faith in Jesus walking to us in the midst of the storms that we know through life. Amen.
Let us stand and join in the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth.
Proceeds from the Father and the Son. Thank you.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. For you are the source of light and life. You made us in your image and called us to new life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. God of abundance, you have fed us with the bread of life and cup of salvation. You have united us with Christ and one another, and you have made us one with all your people in heaven and on earth. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world and continue forever in the risen life of Christ our Savior. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. Amen.
Peace, the love and serve the Lord.
Amen. Amen.